Part 29, Chapter 2. Things began to change the following day. Johnny had spent the night in ops and was sprawled over a table when Lord Dom came in to wake him.
"In 2 hours,
said Lord Dom,
the trial findings will be read and voted upon."
"I'm not a member of the government,"
said Johnny.
"We know that, but you are personally concerned and should be present. Reparations will also be announced, so be there."
Ah, reparations. A sudden surge of hope. Would they be enough to cover this debt to the Galactic Bank? Or at least enough to make arrangements or first payments or something? Tinny had had as good a night's sleep as one could get in a chair. There was very little traffic, and so Johnny asked Chong Wan to stand in for him and went to get dressed. Mr. Tsung was wearing a little round black satin pillbox cap with a blue button on the top of it and had not ceased grinning since he had recovered his rank. He bowed and got a bath wheeled in on a minecart and generally worked to get Johnny dressed and fed. Then Mr. Tsung picked up a little thin box on a silk neck cord and put it on and whispered at it, and Johnny was startled to hear English coming out of it in a flat, electronic monotone.
"Lord Johnny."
In response to Johnny's raised eyebrows using the box, Mr. Tsung explained it was a gift from the small gray man, Dries Glatten, before he had left on a trip. A gift for starting a bank account. It seemed that Mr. Tsung's daughter was painting tigers and birds on big sheets of handmade rice paper and selling them to the emissaries for 50 credits apiece. The lords said they were primitives and collector's items. And his son-in-law had been making pictures of dragons on round metal plates with a molecular sprayer and selling those to the lords for 100 credits each. And like a good father, even though he despised merchants and the merchant class, he was taking care of their money for them. Mr. Tsung explained that His Excellency had found the language Court Mandarin Chinese in his library on the ship and had done the necessary microcopy of it, and you see this little switch here? That's Mandarin to English in the up position, Mandarin to Cyclo in the middle position, and English to Cyclo in the down position. And didn't it sound funny when it turned English into Chinese tones? But that was not all. It was a vocal reader. See this little light on the end? You passed that over Mandarin characters, and it read them aloud in English or Cyclo. And it also read Cyclo and English in Mandarin. So now he couldn't be fooled or led into mistakes by wrongly worded speeches. It ran on body heat, so it didn't need any batteries, and now he could talk straight to Johnny. Of course, he'd still learn the languages himself, for he didn't want to sound so monotone. But wasn't Dries Glatten a nice man? He was glad Mr. Tsung could now talk to him without a coordinator, but all the same, it made Johnny feel surrounded by the Galactic Bank. Mr. Tsung put it to work right away.
"I am told you are going in to hear the sentence and that it somehow includes you. Now, since you don't know whether you are going to be found guilty or not, you just sit respectfully and listen. And if they ask you anything, you just bow. You don't answer. Just bow. That is how you open the way to demand a new trial."
It was good advice, but it did not do much to calm Johnny's nerves. Chief Chong Wan said the radio was quiet. No news of Stormalong, nor Edinburgh, nor Russia.